Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by the wonderful people at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Look, we all need insurance on so many different areas of our life. Auto, home, life, business insurance. You want to go with the best because you want to make sure you're insured. You also want to make sure you're getting the best price. You also want to make sure that it's in the hands of people that will update it properly. Purdy Insurance, the pros in insurance, and many other areas as well. It is Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We are in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Time now for our play-by-play call of the day.
We do not have it. Kevin's working on it.
Kevin's working on it.
But he's not yet ready.
Well, when he's ready, let me know, because I'm sure this will be a treat for all of Americana to enjoy.
Yeah, and this is the bottom of the barrel producing. I'm supposed to be able to do this myself, and Kevin said, okay. No. I wouldn't even know where to begin.
It's okay. We will get through. Matt, by the way, is scheduled to be back on Wednesday.
Oh, thank God.
So while he works on the play-by-play call of the day, I'm glad to see he's doing something productive.
Well, we still don't have it, so.
Once again, that just makes my point I've made for 10 years on the show. All right, so. So let's go. These are some of the questions on The Athletic that were asked about the possibility of expanding the college football playoff. So I think we'll take the same questions here, and we'll go through them one by one, right? Instead of giving you Stuart Mandel and Nicole Auerbach's answers, all right? We'll give our opinion on it and do it that way. Ryan E. wrote in, what's the incentive for Alabama to win the SEC championship when they can lose and get a home playoff game? Like, will the Alabamas and Clemsons rather have the bye or the home game? Good question. While it is great to have a home game in the playoff if they go in that direction, every coach strives to have a bye week. They all do. Anytime I look at a Penn State football schedule, one of the first items I look for is, where is the bye week? It turns out, when they redid the Big Ten schedule for this upcoming year, they could not have handed Penn State a better situation bye week-wise. They play their opening six games. Bye week, play their last six games. You can't ask for better than that. Look at last year when Penn State played its season. We all know all the circumstances that went into it. But I think what people fail to remember is that when Penn State turned down an opportunity to play in a bowl game, they played nine straight weeks with no break, right up until the weekend before Christmas. They played 9 weeks in a row, no break. There was no bye week in there, right? Nothing in there. They played all the way through. That wears on a team. I do the same thing in basketball. You know, you actually in the Big Ten get what are called two byes. Now, they're, unless you really understand the schedule like we do, you probably don't see it or notice it, but you usually play, and look, you play every day of the week, but technically, for the most part, you play a Wednesday and a Saturday. Well, you'll see 1 week where there's no Wednesday game. There's a bye. There'll be another week where there's no weekend game. Now, that one everybody sees. Oh, there's no weekend game this week. They see that. That's your second bye. You get two of those. And in college football, the way it's designed, you play 12 games in a 13-week span. They relish the opportunity to buy. So to answer that question, they'd rather have the buy than having to play the opening round, even if it's at home. But the simple reason is, okay, fatigue, the work of it, and the possibility of injury. So that's where you are. So that's how I answer that question. Ben S. wrote this question into the reporters. What do you think the chances are of quarterfinal games eventually being moved on campus? Any word on if they'll reseed? Number one, I don't think they'll be reseeding. I think you go 1 through 12. So 5 would play 12 at home, 5 against 12, 6 against 11, 7 versus 10, 8 versus 9. And then the winners of the games, you know, 1 would play the winner of 8-9, 2 would play the winner of 7-10, 3 would play the winner of 6-11, right? And 4 would play the winner of 5-12, no reseeding. As for home games, I think they will go with home games in the opening round. If this proposal goes through the way I think they will play home games in the opening round because I think it'll put juice into the playoff. It is logistically easier to organize than having to send two teams to a location. You have to send one. It's easier to sell. And I think all the way around, I just think it'll make the playoff better. And believe me, that sound will resonate through the TV. But I think that, in my opinion, they will go with home games in the quarterfinals. Excuse me, the quarterfinals. What do you think of chance? Quarterfinal. Now, the opening round, they'll go with that. Quarterfinal games. Okay, so he's asking about the quarterfinals. So let me get to that part. The opening round, 5-12, 6-11. 7, 10, and 8, 9 would probably be home sites. Now, the quarterfinals, what he's asking about. So I have to read the question correctly. The quarterfinal round. The bowl system, everybody tell you it's crooked, it's this, that, and that. Look, the bowl system's been great for college football. It has provided showcases all over the place. You already have in place the New Year's Six, and the contracts with the New Year's Six run out in 2026. Utilize them. Sugar, Rose, Cotton, Fiesta, Orange, and Peach. 4 of them for the quarterfinal on a rotating basis. 2 of them in the semifinal on a rotating basis. Okay? Do it that way. And I think it would give each one singular importance. It does not matter the designation. Oh, you're a quarterfinal game. The designation that it's a playoff game. Fans love games with stakes. This would give fans games with stakes and suddenly the singular importance of a Sugar Bowl game, the singular importance of a Cotton Bowl game, the singular importance of a Peach Bowl game. That's why I think if you utilize that, it would be great for the bowls. I think it would be great for college football, too. Next was Jeffrey W.'s question. Any chance that expanded playoff would result in the elimination of conference championship games? Now, that's a simple answer. This proposal that they're putting forward, and it's only the working group that has put this forward, the proposal that they're putting forward is only for the college football playoff. College football conference championship games make a lot of money. I believe the original contract in the Big Ten was $25 million a year. Like, wow. Okay? They're not gonna eliminate that. They just won't. Plus, your conference champion comes out of it, too, so it then plays into the college football playoff. Okay, here's one from Derek S. If we're all really about student-athletes' health and well-being, how can the NCAA and administrators across the country approve 16 to 17 football games a season for unpaid labor? Okay. The unpaid labor thing is something we've discussed a million times, all right? I mean, scholarship, thousands of dollars. Room, thousands of dollars. Books, thousands of dollars. Okay? Trainer. How much does it cost to rent a trainer? How much does it cost to rent the strength and conditioning coach? How much does it cost to rent the running backs coach? How much does it cost to rent the head coach? How much does it cost to rent the nutritionist? How much does it cost to rent the sports performance person? How much does it cost to rent the speed coach? How much? I mean, on and on and on and on you go, where it ends up being tens of thousands of dollars of in-kind that could open the door to a pro career. I am all for name, image, and likeness. All for it. If you can make money off of your name, image, and likeness, you go for it, and I'm behind you 100%. Go for it. All right? But if you want money, okay, pay them. Here you go. Pay them. Oh, and by the way, now you got to pay your tuition. Okay, here you go. All right, now you got to pay to rent the strength and conditioning. You know, you have to go rent the weight room. Okay, here you go. Well, now you got to go and you got to rent Haluba Hall to go practice. Okay, here you go. That's the reality of life I just outlined. That's reality. If you're not in college, you have to rent all that stuff. All of it. You have to pay somebody to do that. Name, image, and likeness, make as much money as you want. Cost of attendance, great. That's your stipend every month. Great. All right. Now for the 16-17 game part. The 17 game part would come into play if a first round team wins and gets to the title game. That's where you get the 17 games. The vast majority of time, okay, the vast majority of time, you're going to see somebody play 16 games in the championship game, one of the top four seeds, most of the time. You're now kicking it up, what, let's see, two more games, one more. If you're playing 16 games, you are playing one more game than you're playing now if you're one of the top four seeds. You'll be playing two more games now if you're one of the lower seeds. All right? And you know, with buys being put in, that's where you get 16 games. And look, in the end, you expect the bye teams are the top four seeds. Let's face it, a lot of time, not every time, because one thing that the college football playoff has lacked over the years, they've lacked the big upset. I mean, when the biggest upset is Ohio State beating Alabama in the first year, that's it? That's your big upset? This isn't Florida Gulf Coast beating Georgetown in basketball, right? So they're missing that part. For the most part, expect the top four seeds usually to emerge. That means a 16-game season. You also will probably also reduce opt-outs. Florida had its entire wide receiving core, except for Justin Shorter, not playing the Cotton Bowl because they all decided to go to the draft. Let's see. Next one is on strength of schedule. We're going to get to that. We'll talk about that in a moment. So we'll take a break on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
When it comes to car buying, there's the other guy's way, and then there's the SMC way. The other guys force you into a vehicle you really don't want. The Sunbury Motors way lets you take the time you need to browse, ask questions, and take the test drive and think on it. For over 100 years, the Mertz family and all their employees have made your experience the most pleasant one you'll ever have. The other guys won't offer you the best price for your trade, no matter how much they say they will. The SMC way is their promise to provide you with the most money the market shows your vehicle is worth. The SMC way is to offer you all applicable factory rebates on new vehicles and generous discounts. Looking for a pre-owned vehicle? The SMC way checks each vehicle in a 200-mile radius to determine the lowest price, then beat it. It's the lowest price promise, just part of the SMC way. The choice is up to you, the other guy's way or the SMC way. The SMC way wins every time. Sunbury Motors Company in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury, and at sunburymotors.com. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for over 100 years.
All right, so here we go. Our play-by-play call today is ready. How about a little Twins triple play action?
Sano in at first, two on, nobody out. Showing bunt, lays it down, pops it up. Sano with the catch. He'll throw to second base. There's one. Simmons now running Gallagher back to first base. And this is going to be a triple play.
All right.
The Twins turn a triple play on a bunt off the bat of Lopez. A triple play in Kansas City, and the Royals had two on, nobody out. They get nothing, and the Twins maintain a 1-0 lead.
It's my good friend Corey Povis on the call from the Twins Radio Network. Corey does a lot of Big Ten BTN announcing. We've become good friends over the years. Great guy, great announcer. So, great call by Corey. So, all right. That was fun. I was hoping we would get to the Rudy moment in the Danville game from a few years ago, but I guess that wasn't available. All right, so what we refer to as the suit light moment.
Daniel.
Yeah, we refer to it as the suit light moment. All right, so by the way, before I get to these other questions, because we still have time in the show, I had a past, present, future moment yesterday. I'm out yesterday, and I run into Mike Motti and Chris Ganter. And, of course, Mike Motti, who did everything to keep everything together here at Penn State when everything was going south. And, of course, Chris Ganter, you know, Chris Ganter says to Mike at one point as we're just chit-chatting, he says, you know, he says, Mr. Jones was my Little League coach. And Mike says, really? He says, how good a coach were you? I said, Mike, I was such a good coach, he turned to football. All right, so... Then, of course, I saw Micah Shrewsbury yesterday, the head basketball coach at Penn State. Saw Mike, Adam Fisher. First time I had a chance to meet Mike Farrelly, who's on the coaching staff. Mike, great guy. They also officially announced that Grady Eifert is the video coordinator. I've announced Grady's games when he was at Purdue. And Grady's brother, by the way, has played in the NFL. He's a tight end. But I announced Grady's games when he was at Purdue, so it was great to have a chance to really talk to him for the first time. So, and then, of course, Adam Fisher was there and Nick Colella and the whole thing. And then I'm not going to get into the future part because it would be against NCAA rules for me to talk about that because nobody signed it. But we'll leave it at that. All right, so. So, past, present, and future. All right. So the next question that came up on The Athletic was from someone named Colin T. The College Football Playoff Committee does not value strength of schedule now. They have made that clear with their selections. They lost to a good team is much more damaging than a win over a bad team. Right now, teams have every incentive to schedule the weakest competition possible. Colin, you are so right on. So let me give you several examples in this area. So we go back to 2016. I've referenced this before, but I'll reference it again. Penn State wins 9 consecutive games, starting with Minnesota, and then the Big Ten championship game against Wisconsin. They win 9 straight. Along the way in that 9 straight, you know, is a win over Ohio State. And Penn State is on the outside looking in. Washington gets in. Washington lost only 1 game during the season. That was a home game to USC. But the non-conference schedule for Washington happened to be Portland State, Idaho, and their best non-conference game was Rutgers, which in that particular year was one of the worst conference games Penn State played. I mean, Penn State went to Rutgers and shut them out at Rutgers. Shut them out. That was the day I did the Duke game in basketball at Mohegan Sun and then drove to Piscataway and did the night game at Rutgers. And that was the best non-conference opponent Washington had. When they did that, they sent a message to everybody. We don't care who you schedule. If you're good enough for your conference, you're in. And then there's the game that Alabama and the SEC play every year. Now, look, I am not in any way disparaging Alabama's program, Nick Saban, or their championships. But I think it stinks that when you sit there and the College Football Playoff Committee, when they actually start announcing what their formal rankings are the last weekend of October, first weekend of November, okay, when they formally start doing that, Alabama schedules a game with Mercer, for example, as its 11th game of the season. In the middle, when they're ranking teams, what a slap in the face. We can play anybody, we'll still be ranked in the top 4. Really? I've said many times, I would deliberately, for that weekend only, move them out of the top four. And then explain on national TV, because you scheduled Mercer, that game is not a worthy game to be played when we're ranking teams for the college football playoff. Now, they go out and beat Auburn the next week, I move them right back into the top four. But to me, it's always been a slap in the face. Like, yeah, we can play anybody we want. They don't care about this. I've maintained that one of the things that each school should do is you should be mandated to play 10 Power 5 schools. You know, out of your 12 games. I mean, to at least attempt to level the playing field, because that's one of the issues that you have in college football. One of the issues you have as opposed to, say, the NFL. In the NFL, well, I'll use the old 16-game schedule. I won't include 17 yet. But you play six games in your division. That means you play 10 games out of your division. So that means 37% of your games are in the division, 63% are out. So you can now see teams all over the place because you have a real gauge about how somebody is outside of their division. In college football, in the Pac-12, the Big 12, and the Big 10, you play 9 of your games against conference opponents. That means you play 75% of your games in conference. You only play 25% out of conference. So you don't have a real great gauge about your out of conference.
We need a better handicapper, I guess, here.
Yeah, exactly. Well, we got more of this coming up next half hour. So great to have you with us. Great to have Mark with us. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right, today's show brought to you by our good friends at Purdy Insurance. Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, motorcycle, whatever. They'll insure you. All right? You'll get the right insurance. You'll get the best price. They'll do everything they can to save you money, maybe even bundles. They have a wide array of services. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. And we're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Care Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Online at sunburymotors.com.
And you got a bad producer.
I've got a great producer. I'm proud of you.
A little rusty. Hey, I never told you, I'm actually related to the Purdys. I have a great uncle who married into the Purdy family. And
really?
I mentioned it to Sean and the rest of the group one time, and he said, nope. I'm like, what? No, it's all laid out in definitive. You know, it's pretty well. No, you're not getting a discount. That's what they said. I wasn't really asking for it, but hey, if you'd have brought it up.
You know. I mean, let me put it this way. You took your shot. I admire you for doing it. That's good.
But we are actually related. Yeah, great uncle married one of the Purdys. So.
Very nice. All right. Now, great family to be associated with.
How about it?
By the way, the Canadian Football League, which did not play in 2020, and there had been a lot of debate whether the CFL would play this year, is going to play. The league's board of governors has voted unanimously in favor of an amended collective bargaining agreement starting the season on August 5th. The CFL didn't play in 2020 because of COVID-19. The league unveiled plans for a full 18-game season. Now they're going to push it back to August and play 14 games. And the Grey Cup, which is their championship game, is now going to be December 12th at a very cold location, I might add. And the Edmonton, at one point there, for decades, they were known as the Edmonton Eskimos, just like the Washington football team had been the Redskins. Well, the Washington football team is now the Washington football team. They dropped Redskins. The Cleveland Indians next year will be known by a different name. They won't be the Indians. Edmonton dropped Eskimos for the same reason. They actually have a new nickname. Now, on the helmet, they have the double E's, Edmonton Eskimos, right? Double E's. They can keep the double E's. They're going to be the Edmonton Elks. Going to have, instead of having a gigantic deer on the side, it's going to be double E's. There you go. Always these days. Go with an animal as your mascot.
It's no warriors, no crusading, no braves.
Right, nothing.
No indigenous people at all whatsoever.
Go with an animal, you're safe.
No fighting.
Right.
Oh, gosh.
Nothing.
Do we need a Canadian Football League, if I may ask as an aside?
Do we need it? I don't think we need it, but, you know, I'm always in favor of anything that gives more jobs.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, jobs out of thin air.
It's not as if guys have not gone from the Canadian Football League to the NFL. They have. I mean, let me give you one of the more famous examples. Joe Theismann, who was a terrific quarterback in the NFL with Washington. Notre Dame, runner-up to the Heisman Trophy. People don't realize he played 3 years in the Canadian Football League. Doug Flutie played, 8, 9 years in the Canadian Football League. And former Nittany Lion Cameron Wake, who was known as Derek Wake when he was here, went to the Canadian Football League. Then he went to the Miami Dolphins, where he became a Pro Bowl player. So, yeah. More jobs, more opportunities.
What are a great quarterback's best years? Out of college, he's 22.
Greatest years?
23, 24, 25.
I'd probably say anywhere from ages 27 to 34.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm talking about the best ones. Like, you know, you're still cutting your teeth a little bit, or especially early on. You know, the game, you know, it slows down for you each step of the way. You know, once you get past 34, then maybe you can't make, you know, the mind says do it, but the body can't as quickly. That's why you see something like Brady. I mean, you know, Brady is at 43, throws the ball on time with more velocity on it, and as Chris Godwin says, throws a very friendly ball. And, you know, people are like, well, what does that mean? You know, it's interesting. I'll go back to 2001. Zach Mills takes over quarterback for Penn State. And suddenly guys that were having trouble handling the ball with, I'm not going to get into other quarterbacks, suddenly with him, are having no problem catching and handling it. Some guys just throw and deliver a ball in such a way where it's just for whatever easy, you know, whether it's the spin on it, the arc on it, the placement of it, it's an easier ball to catch. So
it's not unnecessarily fast, too.
Right, right. I mean, in the NFL, you have to have some velocity. You know, and Brady, I mean, Brady's got a good arm. I mean, it's not. No, he doesn't have, like, other guys have, like, whoa, cannon arm, like, holy Mary, mother, look at that. But, no, Brady has enough velocity to make it count. So back to our questions on the college football playoff, right? There are a couple more in here that they had on The Athletic. For a school like Central Florida, Cincinnati, a Boise State, any of the top group of five schools, would you rather stay in that conference for a better shot at the playoff or go to the Power Five with more money, but perhaps lesser access to more established powers? This is from Kevin N. Kevin, if I were answering this question for you, if a Power Five conference, Pac-12, Big Ten, SEC, ACC, Big 12, happens to ring your phone line, you answer it. Because right now, if you know, and I've taken, as everyone knows on this show, I've always taken a long look at profit margins for schools and in sports. You know, that's why I can confidently and competently talk about which sports lose money, which sports make money, which conferences make money, which ones are in a better shape than others. Because I've done a lot of research on it, a lot of reading, a lot of look at revenues versus expenses. I've done not a little, a lot of reading on it. And there's even a disparity in Power Five conferences. the money made in the SEC because of their TV deal and their bowl deals, and the money made in the Big Ten because of their TV and their bowl deals. Those two conferences have started to separate themselves from other Power 5 conferences, the ACC, the Big 12, the Pac-12, because the Big Ten and the SEC, their schools are getting much, much more money than those three conferences and their schools. But when you're talking about a Power 5, a Conference USA, American Conference, the Mountain West, they don't make anywhere near the money. Okay? So let me give you an example. The American Athletic Conference, that's where Central Florida is, Memphis, SMU, Houston, they're in the American. Their TV deal is worth $7 million per school. Now, the Pac-12, I mentioned how they're in the second tier, Big 12, Pac-12, ACC. Their schools, as a Power 5, make $25 million a year each. But now you get to the Big Ten and the SEC, they're making $54 million a year each. And it goes up every year. There's an escalator. So that's why if you are UCF, Cincinnati, Boise State, and a Power 5 conference calls you, okay, do not hang up the phone. You can now put yourself in a position where, and everyone knows I always talk about the big picture all the time. I don't just focus on football, men's basketball. When I'm talking about, I don't want any sports to be cut, I don't want any sports to be cut. You can now finance all of your sports because you have more money to do it. Women's sports, other men's sports.
Right, you're not cutting a men's sport.
Right, you're not cutting anything, right? In other words, suddenly now, hey, look, we've got more money. We can put more money on our women's volleyball program. Hey, we can, you know, we can maybe start a wrestling program. Hey, that's what getting that kind of money means. So if a Power 5 conference calls a smaller conference school, there is no way that athletic director is hanging up the phone. He's like, first of all, he started with, thank you for your call.
Let's get to the yeses.
Yeah. So, all right, next question was from Lewis S. If you're the Pac-12 and the Group of Five, shouldn't you be pushing hard for the seven highest conference champions and five at-large bids? It would seem like that would be best to ensure that those Power Five leagues don't get shut out of the playoff like Oregon would have last year, while ensuring two Group of Five schools get in, which is reasonable, given how strong the AAC is. It's okay strong. And how much the Sun Belt Conference is improving. Doesn't only having the six highest champions end up making the AAC become more like the SEC for the Group of Five? No. Look, the Pac-12 could push back on this. I understand that. Because last year, Cincinnati, of course, would have made it from the American under this. And Coastal Carolina from the Sun Belt would have made it. Under the 12, no one from the Pac-12, I don't think, would have made it. I don't think Oregon would have made it under this. Like, whoa. But I think one of the reasons that they put the wording in, because as everyone knows, when this came out, I said, look, hey, I think that the Power 5 conferences should all have automatic bids, and then one Group of Five. But then as I looked at the wording of it, the wording of it is by saying the sixth highest ranked conference champions. That takes the possibility of a lawsuit out of the mix. Where now, you can't be sued by the Mountain West, you can't be sued by the Sun Belt, whatever, saying we don't have a shot at this thing. No, no, no. The sixth highest ranked conference champions get in regardless of conference. By making it that generic, I think it takes that out of play. The legalities of it. You know that, you know, Mark, you know, those loosely worded, you know, generic wording I mean, you talk about this all the time on your show about, you know, how things are worded and take away the possibility of being in the court talking about it.
Well, and anything that can be sued for will be sued for. We know that.
Yes. All right. Craig B., this has to be a double-edged sword for some big-time coaches. On one hand, making the field of 12 is something that can be pointed to a successful season. On the other hand, does this potentially have the effect of putting new pressures on coaches to make the field of 12? Man, they're on this thing all the time. To be honest with you, under this proposal, they're going to talk more about next week. Penn State would have made the playoff four times. They would have made it in 16, 17, 18, and 19. Now, with everything, there is also a different level to it. So now you're making the college football playoff on a regular basis. Great. Now what are the fans going to expect? How about advancing in it? I always go back in basketball to the Jamie Dixon situation at Pitt. He kept taking Pitt into the NCAA tournament. And you know what the complaint ended up being after being there for a dozen years? This guy can't get us past the Sweet 16. So eventually he moves on to TCU. And Pitt hasn't even been close to the Sweet 16 ever since. All right, we'll take a break. One final break. Back with more in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Life on the water comes in all shapes and sizes. From a fishing boat or pontoon boat to a jet ski, we keep you protected. This is Season from Purdy Insurance. We can help make your time on the water relaxed and worry-free with comprehensive protection for you, your friends and family, and your watercraft and boating equipment. We're independent and local, and we'll find the right boating insurance to fit your needs. Call our Sunbury office at 570-286-5855 or go to purdyinsurance.com and see what we can do for you.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Well, I was looking at I'm a weather app during the commercial break.
A fine local state college-based weather app?
Yes.
Okay.
I wanted to see. It has on their lightning strike distance. So I'm looking at it, and it says 0.1 miles. It says seek shelter.
Oh, dear.
Like, okay.
Well, you're there. Hey, yeah. You got that covered, though.
I got that part covered. I thought 0.1. That's a little close. I don't have a baseball game tonight. I'm good. So I don't have to worry about that. I mean, my grandson is going to play Little League tonight. I think that might go by the boards. We'll see. But, yeah. All right. So we're having fun with this. Let's see. Double-edged sword. Coaches always have a double-edged sword. Let's see. Someone was asked about, somebody asked a question, Brett B., about getting rid of the, quote, crony bowl system. Whatever, it's not a, some people ask questions, they don't really know what they're talking about.
I'm sorry, what kind of bowl are they asking?
Crony bowl system.
Oh, crony, like an old crony. Okay.
Cronies, yeah.
All right, I didn't quite hear that.
No. Look, the New Year's Six bowls have contracts with the college football playoff through 2026. Look, fans identify with it. And the bowls have been really good for college football. Really good. How many non-New Year's Six bowls will survive? Like the Citrus and Holiday Bowls. That's going to be an interesting question. I think a lot of them will survive. What people don't realize is ESPN actually owns 14 bowl games. And if they own 14 bowl games, those bowl games aren't going away. Now, do they own the Citrus or the Outback or the Gator? No. But I can see the bowl game surviving because, you know, the college football playoff, ESPN, when you look at the ratings, you know, just the pure viewership numbers, we always hear, there are too many bowl games. And I always have the same answer. Well, you don't have to watch it. It would be like me saying, there are too many episodes of NCIS. But no, there aren't. There's supply and demand. I mean, if you want to watch every NCIS, that's great. I know I enjoy the show, too. but there aren't too many. I don't see there goes too many. But I can choose what to watch and not to watch. When they look back on any given year, almost every year there's only one bowl game that falls below 1 million viewers. That tells you people are watching. I mean, how many times are you just sitting there on a Tuesday night, you know, and I say it's a time I don't have a game that night. I'll be sitting there flipping through. I got, you know, finally can put my feet up, whatever. Holiday season. I'm looking around going, okay. Yeah, that game looks like it's pretty good. I'll watch it. Doesn't mean it has to be like, oh my goodness, I'm so fully emotionally invested. But it's like, you know, I love football. I think I'll watch the game. You know, so those bowls will survive. Could more TV networks be involved in the playoff? I think it's a possibility. I think that is a possibility. Then somebody asked a question about Notre Dame. Jack Swarbrick is the athletic director at Notre Dame. He's on the working group. Was this the only way to guarantee that the new proposed system didn't leave Notre Dame out? I think it's smart to have a smart person on there. I always feel it's really good to have smart people on there. Jack Swarbrick is a smart person. The only part about this with Jack Swarbrick on there that did surprise me is that under the proposal, and it's only a proposal, they have not voted on the final parts of it yet, so it's just a proposal. It's like the U.S. Open Golf Championship is this week. You know, we will talk about the leader in the clubhouse. That doesn't mean they're going to win the tournament. You're just the leader in the clubhouse. This proposal is the leader in the clubhouse right now. The only part of this proposal that surprised me was that only conference champions can be in the top four and get a first-round bye. That means the highest Notre Dame could be ranked in this proposal is fifth, which means they would never get a bye. And he's on the working group. I thought that was, that kind of surprised me. Like, okay. But, hey.
And who does that eliminate?
It eliminates anybody that's an independent. So they would eliminate Notre Dame, BYU. Mm-hmm. It would eliminate UConn, for example. Those are, you know, there are very, very few independents left, Mark. Very few independents. Everybody else is associated with everyone else is associated with the conference now.
Okay.
But there's just, I mean, those are the few independents left. And I can guarantee you, UConn's about as close to making the college football playoff as Shikellamy. All right. So, what a pleasure, my friend. Enjoy every moment I spend with you on or off the air.
It's been a blast. And I'm learning a lot, man.
Appreciate you very much.
I'm from the group of five team of producers here.
which means you have a shot.
Right.